Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD with Veritas Medical. Always check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Past archive programs and other important information can be found all right there at veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards on this Monday morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
Good morning to you. And, of course, along the way, if you have any questions, feel free to text it in at 806-745-5800. You can do that, 806-745-5800 along the way.
All right. Excited to bring you all some more education today. Our goal is to shut down Veritas Medical. I'm saying that more and more these days because people always assume you're just trying to drum up business or you have some ulterior motive to make money. And my goal is to everyone so well they don't need us. They don't need a doctor. Now, of course, that's probably not going to happen. But we're still going to try. And so the way to do that, you know, the name of our show, the show today is You're the Cure. And your body does have the cure. Your body knows how to function just as it was designed to if you steward it properly. We always talk about the four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Give the body what it needs. Avoid what it doesn't. It should function. And when it comes to nutrition, we've beat that drum on sugar and processed grains. We've mentioned the seed oils, the processed seed oils, but we haven't taken a deep dive into that. So that's what we're going to do today with our special guest. And before I introduce him, I just want to say, I know everybody's still in COVID mode and kids are going back to school today. And some school districts I know have got delayed here locally because of some outbreaks. Someone told me yesterday there was a volleyball game going on at one of the high schools and the ladies were wearing masks. And I know masks are mandatory in most of these school districts. And I'm not going to get into the mask thing. But from a prevention standpoint, ethically and morally and professionally, if someone comes to my clinic and our patients are pretty well educated and they ask me, show me the science. Show me the science of what's really going to decrease my risk of COVID-19. I honestly can't say a mask and a vaccine and 6 feet of distancing as the best way to prevent COVID-19. I can't honestly say that. If I'm just going to look at the scientific literature, I can't say it. If I'm going to look at common sense, I can't say it. If I'm going to look ancestral and historically at that, evidence I've talked about before, how 99% mortality rate in the infants dropped with childhood measles and whooping cough mortality, 99% drop in that before the vaccine came, because we cleaned up the environment, we cleaned up from a sanitation and a nutrition standpoint. And we've talked about Weston A. Price before in the 1920s, 1930s, traveling the world to observe healthy ancestral groups. And what he noted, of many things he noted, but one thing he noted was resistance to tuberculosis. Some villages were overcome with tuberculosis, and people were infected and dying from tuberculosis, which, by the way, is much more virulent than COVID-19. And then some other villages right down the road were resistant or resilient against it. They were not succumbing. They didn't have the infection, nor were they dying from it. And it was amazing. Dr. Price noted that it was modern food that was the difference between the two villages. Modern food was increasing the susceptibility to tuberculosis. So we've talked about terrain theory versus germ theory when it comes to COVID and trying to protect against the germ and chase the germ and do it. I mean, I would love an easy button answer too. Who wouldn't want an easy button answer? We can keep living our life as Americans do and just throw a mask on and take a shot and we're good to go. We can keep not stewarding our immune system and our health. But that we've got to face the hard reality. We've traded cost and convenience. 70, 80 years of trading this cost convenience thing in our food and in our lifestyle. And now we're susceptible. 88% of Americans, this is probably more than that. This is data up to 2016 from the NHANES study. 88% of Americans do not have metabolic flexibility. We've talked about the mitochondria producing energy and producing exhaust and being able to clear that exhaust, the free radicals, and make the energy appropriately. Your body will function. Every cell will function when you can steward that cellular mitochondrial function. And 88% of Americans can't. Don't. They do not have the parameters you look at, waist circumference, blood pressure, triglycerides, HDL, insulin levels, fasting blood sugar. When you look at everything they looked at in this study, 88% of Americans fail. They don't pass the lab or physical exam findings. It would say they're metabolically fit and flexible. That means we're sitting ducks, not only for chronic disease, but for acute infectious disease like COVID-19. So true protection and true immune system boosting and true protection from COVID-19 and every other flu-like illness out there is get your terrain optimized, get your mitochondrial function optimized, get your cellular inflammation down. That is so clear, and we should have been preaching this from the beginning of COVID-19 outbreak. Here's what you do to really protect yourself. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and it's so excited to have a like-minded physician, Dr. Chris Kenobi. That's as in Obi-Wan Kenobi. He told me to introduce that I could introduce him that way. So a pleasure to have Dr. Chris Kenobi. And with cureamd.org is the website that we'll talk about later. He's an ophthalmologist, and specifically he dove into the research with macular degeneration. And I can't wait for y'all to hear historically when the first case of macular degeneration, the first heart attack ever, and all these chronic diseases we're seeing now, historically, they weren't there. And they started to really blossom and exponentially increase just over the past century. So we'll talk about that too, all in relationship to these processed seed oils and this modern food that we're all eating. But I'm going to let Dr. Kenobi introduce himself, give his bio. Dr. Kenobi, welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, I know you're busy. We were speaking earlier off air about how you've really spent the last 5 years diving into the research and the science and trying to discover what the root is, all this chronic disease and macular degeneration in particular. But if you could share with the audience as far back as you want to go, share with the audience kind of the backstory, how you got to where you are today, sort of the upbringing, even if it's just professionally speaking, but how did you land where you are today? There's not many doctors who are looking for root causes and who are diving into nutrition. So if you don't mind, share with the listeners a little bit of your story.
Right. So, well, I'm a physician. I'm a traditionally allopathically trained medical doctor. I graduated from the University of Colorado back in 1990, so it's been 30 years. And I'll tell you this very quickly, that, well, so I became an ophthalmologist. I'm an eye surgeon, and so I've, you know, practiced ophthalmology all the time until 2015, you know, all that time, actually, Ben, I never really considered that I was never asking what is the root cause of all these diseases. And I came across an article, actually, I was always interested in nutrition. I've always been an athlete. I grew up as an athlete, and I always wanted to be really healthy, but I was suffering with arthritis myself since the time I was about 34, 35 years old. And I came across this article in 2007. I think it was in Men's Health by Nina Teicholz, and it was about the fact that the Maasai warriors of Kenya and Tanzania consume huge amounts of saturated fat because they live off of they're pastoralists, and they live off the milk, meat, and blood of the animals they herd, and so they have this, I can get into the details later if you want me to, but anyway, huge amounts of saturated fat, and yet they never had heart disease. And then, anyway, that was like 2007. In 2011, I had suffered with my own arthritis, which was progressively getting worse and affecting almost all my joints. And I'd seen all kinds of doctors. I'd say around a dozen physicians, from family physicians to orthopedic surgeons to even rheumatologists, about my own progressive arthritis. I was miserable, and I started a kind of a partial paleo diet. I'm not a paleo guy today, but anyway, I started a partial paleo diet, and in about 8 or 10 days, I was 80% better. Mostly by eliminating, I thought by eliminating grains and dairy, but anyway, it's not quite that simple. I just didn't understand it. But nevertheless, this was such a revolutionary and radical change in my own health that I just, it made me want to know everything I could know about nutrition. I started thinking, you know, how is it possible that all this time, you know, I've never been told, nobody's ever said anything about nutrition for heart disease or for cancers or for arthritis or whatever. And yet this light bulb went off, and I started thinking, you know, possibly nutrition is the root of all this. It's the cause and the cure. And so by 2013, I began this huge deep dive. 2013, I finally found Weston Price's research and his book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And once I read that, I had the foundation to understand all of nutrition. I'm not saying I understood all of nutrition, but I had the foundation. And then finally, later that year, I questioned whether or not processed foods, since I knew then that man-made processed foods could drive all of this disease, heart disease, cancer, stroke, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, tooth decay, on and on. I thought, could, you know, processed foods also drive age-related macular degeneration, which is the leading cause of irreversible vision loss and blindness in people over the age of 65 worldwide? And so I went down that path, and by early 2015, in February of 2015, I was so convinced I was on the right path. I didn't have all the evidence, but I was so convinced that this was so important, I left practice to pursue this full time. And so now today I've been, I call myself a nutrition researcher for the past now 5.5 years. And we're trying to reach, you know, people primarily about preventing vision loss, you know, through diet. But Ben, the thing that's so interesting and important about this too is that in order to understand, first I had to understand what it is about diet that's driving all this chronic disease. Then I focused in on macular degeneration, and then then my research took me down the path that it's vegetable oils that are the hugely important danger in our diet. And I think that over the past 3 years, my research has led me to the path that I believe that they are the underlying cause of most of this disease. They're the major driver of all of this disease. So that's kind of the backstory and a little bit of a summation there.
Wow. That's so fascinating, and I hear that so often. One of the little things I do when I go to a conference, and I try to stick with more of a functional, integrative type of medical conferences, nutrition-based conferences, but I'll go up to the podium and ask the doctor who's given whatever lecture they just gave, how did you get into this? You know, how did you get into this holistic, more natural, quote-unquote, alternative? And almost always, probably always, to a man, it's either they were sick or had some symptom or disease, or their immediate loved one, like their spouse, mm-hmm. and it was reversed or improved greatly with a nutritional approach. So fascinating that you have a similar story. And I just want to remind the listeners, Dr. Kenobi said arthritis, and that itis at the end, that's inflammation. And we've talked about inflammation a lot on this show. And you can Google whatever disease you have, even if it doesn't end in itis. But there are many that do, like ulcerative colitis or chronic sinusitis or bursitis. So there are a lot of itises, but even diabetes, cancer, and heart disease that don't end in itis, those are diseases of inflammation. You can just go do an internet search with your disease or your symptom, even if it's migraine, headache, or depression, and also inflammation. Search both those terms together, and you'll see this connection. There's this underlying connection of inflammation with all these diseases. So even though Dr. Kenobi is talking about arthritis and now macular degeneration, really you could plug in almost any disease. So just wanted to remind the audience of that. And then one quick question before we go into the vegetable oils, Dr. Kenobi, is in medical school, do you recall how much, because people ask me all the time, and I think I remember it's about 2 hours for my education, but how much nutrition did you get in 4 years of medical school? Do you remember how much education and nutrition you got?
Yes, I'll be very, very honest. To my knowledge, we had none. Yeah. Absolutely none. The most, you know, and today, looking back at it, there's two things that strike me as just unbelievable. Is number one is that there's no focus on nutrition in traditional allopathic medical schools, or very, very little, and there's research behind that. But number two is that we allopathic physicians, we medical doctors, for the most part, there is never the teaching that we should be asking what is the root cause of these diseases. So when you're in medical school and you're taught about heart disease, for example, what is a heart attack? It begins with describing the pathology of the atherosclerotic plaque and what it looks like and all that. And with cancer, you're taught that, well, it's about DNA, and you get mutations that lead to, you know, out of control growth. And with diabetes, it's about insulin resistance and what goes, you know, what happens with the hormones. But it never is, we don't go back and say, well, what causes that?
Yeah.
And where is the cause for that? And then this is the thing that I've spent many, many months on, really, you know, a massive amount of my research has been to look at what is the history of all these diseases. And this is something that medical schools pay zero attention to. And if you don't understand the history of a disease, then you will just think that all this disease is normal. You think that one-third of our population dies of heart disease and one-third of the population dies of cancer. You might think that's normal until you start finding out that even in the 19th century, we didn't have these diseases for the most part, and that people that don't consume processed foods, hunter-gatherer type populations, don't get these diseases. And so when you look at that, you start thinking and questioning, there's got to be a root cause. And, you know, I remember one time, many, many years ago, I was taught, probably in medical school, that the most important thing that we need to know about a patient when they walk in the door is what is their history. I mean, if they have been sick for 20 years and they come in, they're very sick, that's very, very different than somebody who was, out sprinting and lifting weights yesterday, and now and today they're in the ICU. You know, you say, well, what the heck happened to them?
Right.
And it's the same way when you look at all of this chronic degenerative disease, no matter whether it's, you know, heart disease, cancer, or macular degeneration. And if you discover that it didn't once exist and now does in massive numbers, why? What has changed? And the answer is very simply, man-made processed foods, and we shouldn't get into that.
Yeah, well, I could not agree more, and it's so awesome that you have taken that deeper dive in asking those questions of, well, where's that come from, and where's that come from, and why didn't our ancestors have this? So kudos to you for taking that dive, and I think we can relate this to our daily life now with the whole COVID thing. The news, the media, the medical advisors to the politicians, and I don't want to go off on this tangent too much, but I'm just trying to get the listeners to connect this dot of, you know, what we're saying is the medical school did not teach us nutrition, and that's so interrelated to the root cause of all these diseases. It's the same institutions that aren't taking a deeper dive into what's going to make you susceptible to COVID-19, and therefore what would you do to prevent that? And it's just talking about masking a potential vaccine down the road without talking about what really bolsters the immune system is just awful, in my opinion, and I'm not going to say unethical, but not the full truth, not the full information, not informed consent, if you want to go that way. So listeners out there, it's time, you have to, and probably if you're listening to the show, you're already doing this, take charge of your own health. You've got to get sources of information that are outside the institutional norms, because those are all biased, unfortunately, from a perspective of money. And again, don't want to go off on that tangent. We want to focus on these vegetable oils and this, because so many of the listeners, I think, on this show have heard about the grains and the sugar. So let's go back to that. You mentioned you went paleo, but and you thought initially maybe that the grain and the dairy, is avoiding that is what dropped your inflammation, helped your arthritic symptoms, but then your research pointed to something else. So, and we're about 5 minutes to the break, so maybe you can kind of give a little intro, and then we'll take our break, and then we'll come back and take a deeper dive into what made you think about oils as opposed to sugar.
Okay. So, well, Ben, I don't really know that how much the vegetable oils were driving my own arthritis. I mean, in 2011, I drastically changed my diet. Kind of went paleo, and which means that's the first time in my life that I also I started getting rid of vegetable oils. So I got rid of, for the most part, sugars, wheat products, vegetable oils, and trans fat that year. And but eventually, just to give you the end story, that didn't completely. I was drastically better, and then in 2015, 2016, somewhere in there, I started getting worse with my own arthritis. And this doesn't play into everything I want to tell you, but just to give the final answer, because it might help people, is that I started going downhill with my arthritis again, despite the fact that I was on, you know, a perfectly ancestral diet. It's very, you know, very, very careful. But anyway, I was getting worse with my arthritis again, and I started working with a functional medicine doctor, and I came across information that it was driven by oxalates. And oxalates are a two-carbon molecule that some people will know that they cause calcium oxalate kidney stones. But I never had kidney stones. It turns out that these oxalates, which are really high in what people are calling the superfoods, mm-hmm. which are spinach, potatoes, sweet potatoes, and nuts, for example, and some of the dark leafy greens, spinach and kale is pretty high. But anyway, some of these foods that people think of as superfoods are incredibly high in oxalates, and these oxalates can accumulate in our tissues, like in our joints and in our muscles and in our kidneys, and even in the retina of the eyes, and anyway, all sorts of places, and wreak havoc. And so I did not actually discover this until about, a year and a few months ago. So now I'm on a low oxalate diet, and that has dramatically improved my arthritis again. And so now, I'm 59 years old, but today I am really honestly in better shape, better physical condition, and have less arthritis than I had when I was 33.
Wow, it's incredible and encouraging for all those people out there who've been suffering for so long.
So people that have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, arthritis, kidney stones, most 80 to 90% of kidney stones are calcium oxalate. And that's where that's coming from. Those people, you can dig into that detail, but getting rid of oxalates, which is especially spinach, nuts, and potatoes, for example, that alone, you know, may make a drastic difference. So that's just a little tiny nugget, and not where I wanted to spend our time. But for those people that might be suffering with some of those conditions, that might drastically help.
No, that's great. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. We'll spend the whole second half of the show, we're going to talk about these vegetable oils. And I'm going to say, and you said it in where I first heard you, was at the Low Carb Conference in Denver, and you showed a slide where I may get these institutions wrong, but I think it's American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, John Hopkins, Harvard. I saw the other day the WHO even had it, where they're all recommending the vegetable oils. They're recommending the quote-unquote heart-healthy oils, so the canola and the cottonseed and the soybean corn oil. And so we're going up against all these very quote-unquote smart, intelligent institutions putting out these recommendations. So we're going to talk about that. Why? How could all those institutions be wrong, potentially? And what's the science behind that? And what is this? What are these, the difference between saturated and unsaturated and polyunsaturated? So we'll get into all the details and the science with Dr. Chris Kenobi when we get back from the break. I want y'all to check out the website, Cure AMD. .org, and that's Dr. Kenobi's foundation, where their goal is to prevent, educate, and help people prevent the number one leading cause of age-related blindness. So check that out, cureamd.org, Dr. Chris Kenobi, and we'll be right back. This has been Edwards, You're the Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Past archived programs, other important information can all be located right there at the website, veritasmedical.com. All right, right back with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD.
Thank you, Wade. We're excited to have Dr. Chris Kenobi with us today, cureamd.org. is the website. I want y'all to go check it out and get more educated in these seed oils. So we're going to dive right into exactly what are we talking about, these seed oils. So really, I tell people, eat like your great-great-grandparents did. Ancestrally, what kind of fats did they consume? Lard and tallow and olive oil and coconut oil. And these have saturated fat. But the American Heart Association and other organizations tell us to avoid saturated fat. So what's the deal? And probably my favorite slide, Dr. Kenobi, in your presentation was when you said you could eat like these guys, and you showed a picture of the Maasai tribe in Africa that you talked about earlier, and also another ancestral group in the South Pacific Islands. And they were, I mean, just the photographs of these guys is a picture of health. They were fit, trim, very little body fat, and no heart attacks at all or heart disease at all. And then you show a picture of the standard American potbelly Caucasian guy on the beach, and it's like, follow the American dietary guidelines and end up like these guys, or eat saturated fat against the dietary guidelines of the United States and be like these guys. I thought that was awesome. But explain to listener, how could we be this far off? How could all these Harvard and Mayo and American Heart Association, why could there be such a discrepancy here? So maybe we'll start with a brief explanation. What are the saturated fats versus polyunsaturated fats? And then we can get into some of the science of why, how could this drive disease? And then maybe we can talk about, well, why do these societies endorse these things? So could you explain to the listener a little bit on the difference between these fats?
Yeah, sure. Ben, I think the reason that we are, that we're this far off is because the seed oils, the vegetable oils, have been in our food supply since right after the American Civil War. And if they had been introduced, let's say in the year 2000, there would have been such a drastic, sudden change to the health of everyone consuming them, it would have been obvious. I mean, it would be as obvious as, people consuming arsenic or being carbon monoxide poisoned. But what happened was is that, you know, the very first seed oil was introduced, which is a vegetable oil. These come with different names, you know, seed oils, vegetable oils. We call them seed oils because most of them come from seeds. But seed oils, vegetable oils, polyunsaturated fatty acids, these are all the same thing. And the first one of these was introduced right after the American Civil War, about 1866. And I would say 99.8% or 99.9% of the world had never, ever seen, heard of, or consumed a vegetable oil. And, you know, again, they're not from vegetables. And these products are highly refined. They're chemically alkalinized, bleached, and deodorized before they ever hit this bottle. And they're extraordinarily oxidized, and then they also oxidize further in the body, and they give rise to a number of toxic aldehydes. But anyway, what happened was is that, so we got cottonseed oil in 1866 after they determined that they could feed it to cattle, and the cattle didn't die. And before that, it was used, they were used in lamp oil and as machine oil, and then eventually, and also fertilizer. Then cattle feed then they decided they could sneak it into human food. And what they did was they didn't just tell people they were getting cottonseed oil. They began adulterating lard and butter is eventually what they did. And that's actually how we ended up with so-called margarine. But anyway, so we only had cottonseed oil up until 1909, and then soybean oil was introduced, and then we got all the others. And ladies and gentlemen, these vegetable oils, they ultimately are the really, really, really dangerous ones, which are very, very high in the polyunsaturated fatty acids, are soybean, corn, canola, cottonseed, rapeseed, grapeseed, sunflower, safflower, and rice bran. And all of these oils are extremely high in omega-6 fatty acids. And these omega-6 fatty acids, they accumulate in our fat, and they cause really four things. They're extremely pro-oxidative. And that term has only meant something to me that I have begun to understand over the last few years. But they're pro-oxidative, pro-inflammatory, they're toxic, and then they're nutrient deficient. And so what so back to the kind of the history is that so between about 1866 and 1909, Americans were consuming on average about 2 grams of these a day. Then we got soybean oil, and then we got all those others that I mentioned. And over the next century. And so by 2010, we were at 80 grams of these seed oils per day, per person per day. Now, 80 grams, ladies and gentlemen, is it's 9 calories per gram of fat. That's 720 calories. That's 32% of U.S. caloric intake. Virtually one-third of your diet, if you're consuming a typical, you know, westernized diet, is coming from these vegetable oils. And believe me, you don't have to put 1 teaspoon of oil into any of your food to get that much. You can get it from all the processed foods, all the man-made packaged processed foods, from restaurants and from fast food places. They all are using these. And there's over... there's probably ballpark, you know, 400,000 to 500,000 different foods that contain these, so they're everywhere.
Let me just reiterate, 32% of the caloric intake in the United States, standard American intake, is a nutrient-depleted, pro-inflammatory, pro-oxidative food-like substance. That's what Dr. Kenobi just said. A third of what we're eating, standard American is eating, has no nutrients, and is pro-inflammatory. It's a poison. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Kenobi, but that was a huge stat.
Yeah, this is what I call these. These are poisons. These are absolutely biological poisons. And so what they do is they when you consume sugar or carbs, for example, you can only store a little bit of that. You can store maybe a few hundred grams of, at the most, of carbs in the form of glycogen in your liver and in your muscles, right? So you're gonna burn through that. Let's say, you know, you stop eating, you could burn through that in a couple of days, easy. But the fat, you can store tons of those. Well, anyway, so the omega-6 linoleic acid is the primary omega-6 fat in the seed oils. That fat it does not want to be burned for fuel. It's meant to be consumed in very, very tiny amounts, like a gram a day, and it's supposed to accumulate in very specific places in your cellular and particularly the mitochondrial membranes, where it has a very important function. But instead, we're filling up our fat tissue with these fatty acids. And, you know, there's a couple of studies I know of. You know, one was the Tokelauans that consumed no seed oils, and their body fat linoleic acid was 3.8%. Well, that's where we were, where Americans likely were in the early 20th century when we had very few vegetable oils in our diet. But anyway, today our body fat is upwards of, it's in the, it was 21.5% by 2008, linoleic acid, this omega-6 fat, and it's higher than that today. So these accumulate in our fat, and then they cause this pro-oxidative effect, which is, well, pro-oxidative is extraordinarily damaging to your body when these cause oxidation. And, you know, for example, arsenic kills you because it's pro-oxidative. If you consume arsenic, you know, it depends on your dose, but if you consume very much, it's going to kill you. It may take a few months. Well, that's exactly what seed oils are doing. They're accumulating in your fat, just like arsenic does, and it causes pro-oxidation, and it eventually kills you. And this is why, you know, we're being killed in the form of heart disease and cancers and so forth, because, you know, let me do the math here. So, yeah, about 145, 150 years ago, you know, since 1866, the whole world had never had any vegetable oils, and today, most westernized developed nations, they're consuming upwards of a third of their diet like we are. So a quarter to a third of their diet made of vegetable oils. And those vegetable oils supplanted and replaced the healthy traditional animal fats, lard, butter, and beef tallow. And those are fantastically healthy for us.
Okay, let's go right there, because the American Heart Association, the typical doctor on the street is handing out statins to try to lower people's cholesterol, and then we'll tell them to quit eating saturated fat, you know, get an egg white omelet.
Right.
Every time at a, which isn't often, but I'll be at a hotel at a conference occasionally, and there'll be someone in line for the omelets in the hotel, and every time I hear one of them just order an egg white omelet, I just want to step in there and give them some education, but they have to have
right.
ears to hear. But so you talked about, you know, med school, we talk about heart disease and atherosclerotic plaques, and we start talking about that, but we don't talk about, well, where'd that come from? Why'd that even start? So I talk to my patients about cholesterol is not the issue. Inflamed, oxidized LDL or inflamed cholesterol and oxidized LDL, cholesterol in general, it could be a problem. So let's kind of connect that dot as far as heart disease goes, and maybe even mention the history of heart disease and the first heart attack ever reported, which I found fascinating. I didn't know that before I heard your lecture.
Right. So I took a so-called really deep dive into this to try to understand, just like with age-related macular degeneration, I did this with heart disease and almost all these westernized diseases. So, for example, in the 19th century, heart disease was virtually unknown, and I've looked back at all the scientific papers, which are very hard to come by, and some of these textbooks. But anyway, and this is what I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. This is all published evidence. These are scientific papers. So in Boston, in the town of Boston, it was a small town in 1811. We know that there was not a single heart disease related death, as far as they knew. There was 25 sudden deaths, which was 2.6% of all the deaths that year. Those were probably cardiac valvular disease. But in the entire 19th century, so between 1800 and 1900, there was 8 published papers regarding heart attack or heart disease, coronary heart disease as we know it. 2 of those were definite heart attacks, and those can occur in the face of, you know, rare disorders like, rather rare disorders like sickle cell disease, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, 1897, Sir William Osler he's the famed physician that was one of the founding partners of Johns Hopkins Medical Center in Baltimore, and he published a paper in 1897 reviewing his previous 21 years of clinic and hospital experience, and he had witnessed about 6 cases of angina, the chest pain, that could be related to heart disease, but he had never seen or heard of a heart attack. 1897. 13 years later, in 1910, he gave a presentation in London, England, and he told the audience that he had witnessed an additional 206 cases of angina, which he attributed to the, quote, pressures of modern day life, end quote, but he had still, 1910, never witnessed a heart attack. 1912, John Herrick in the United States published the first known case of heart attack in the United States. First known case, 1912, documented with autopsy evidence. One of his colleagues performed the autopsy. Wasn't even taken seriously until the 1920s because nobody knew about heart attacks. Physicians weren't aware of them, never seen one, didn't know anything about it. But then by the 1930s, coronary heart disease is the leading cause of death, becomes the leading cause of death, virtually unknown in 1900. How's it then suddenly become the leading cause of death? And then by 2010, essentially today, well, 32% of deaths are due to coronary heart disease. Well, this tracks perfectly with our consumption of vegetable oils. So again, as I said, we went from zero vegetable oils up the entire world up until 1865, and in the United States were 80 grams a day, 720 calories worth, you know, without ever spooning any of this into your food, were 32% of your calories coming from vegetable oils. So again, these are driving, just as Dr. Ben said, the vegetable oils primarily are driving the oxidation of LDL. So your cholesterol can be through the roof. I mean, 800. As long as it's not oxidized, it will not cause atherosclerotic heart disease. I have a very good friend, colleague, physician, who his cholesterol runs in the 800s, and he has a coronary artery scan just recently. And his what was it? Zero. He has no coronary artery disease at all. My cholesterol, for example, has been 330 total since the early 90s. I know this for sure. Now I was on a westernized diet, but I probably avoided vegetables a lot because I tried to be healthy and I didn't know what I was doing. But nevertheless, my cholesterol is still around 330 today. And earlier this year, I had a coronary artery calcium scan, which is the gold standard to assess for heart disease, and it was all of my arteries. I got a zero score, which means I have no heart disease at all. But Malcolm Kendrick in the United Kingdom has collected something like, I think it's 50 or 80 different people who are kind of in this category, cholesterol of like 300 to 800, and they've been that way for decades, and they have zero heart disease. And why is that? Because they don't have oxidized LDL cholesterol, and that is what's driving heart disease. So there's virtually almost zero relationship between the total cholesterol and heart disease, but there is a dramatic relationship between oxidized LDL and heart disease. And what is it that is in the oxidized LDL? It is linoleic acid, that omega-6 fatty acid, which causes the oxidation of that particle. And you also see the other components that are derived from the oxidized omega-6, and these are things like malondialdehyde, which is MDA, and oxidized linoleic acid metabolites, or OXLAMs, like 9 and 13 HODE. And those HODE is H-O-D-E, and that stands for hydroxyoctadecadienoic acid. Well, that's a long term that actually just means oxidized linoleic acid, that 18-carbon omega-6 fat, which is coming from, guess where? Vegetable oils. So how get vegetable oils entirely 100% out of your diet, and you cannot. I mean, in my opinion, you cannot get heart disease.
So the very oils at our grocery store right now today labeled heart healthy, in your opinion, if you avoid those 100%, you will not have a heart attack.
Right, because I don't think you. So I think crazy. It's almost impossible. It is possible in some rare conditions,
right,
which I won't go into. But for 99.9% of the population or more, I would say that if you are just vegetable oil free alone, you will almost eliminate your risk for heart disease, because if you do that, you also actually without even knowing it, you will start consuming more of the traditional animal fats, and hopefully those will be from pastured animals. But you'll start consuming more butter and animal fat, lard, butter, beef tallow, those kind of things, if you get the vegetable oils out of your diet. Because if you're like the typical American and you're getting almost a third of your calories coming from vegetable oils, and you just suddenly get rid of that, well, guess what? Within 3 days, your risk of a heart attack and stroke go down. Even though your body fat linoleic acid is still really high, and it'll take years to get rid of that, your risk of a heart attack and stroke will go down in 48 to 72 hours because you will not the oxidation of the LDL will be reduced, and you will be reducing the components in your blood that are driving the thrombogenic event, meaning the clotting event.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you'd be healthier literally within hours after getting these out of your diet.
That's incredible. I want people to take note of this exact 180 opposite advice, nutritional advice, than what the institutional groups are telling you, and translate across the board, I would say, including COVID-19 and what's going to reduce your risk or increase your risk of that.
So, yes, indeed. Here's what so Harvard and Tufts and Mayo and the American Heart Association are all going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you should consume these, quote, heart-healthy vegetable oils, end quote, because of one reason, and one reason only, and it's because they will drive your cholesterol lower, and indeed they will. That doesn't help you at all. You are just as likely to have a heart attack if your cholesterol is 100 as if it is 400. How is that possible? But it's true, and all of the studies have shown that recently. Meta-analyses, which are, you know, looking at all the studies together, concluded that saturated fat has no relationship to heart disease and so forth. So back to, the LDL and the fact that, yes, your LDL cholesterol will go down when you consume these vegetable oils, but the LDL is still there, but it may not be measured as well because now it's oxidized. And oxidized LDL may not measure like your traditional, your native LDL. So anyway, but the LDL particles are still there. And here's what's happening. So if you consume vegetable oils, now you oxidize your LDL. Guess where that LDL goes? Right into your arteries. Because it is so dangerous to you that your body knows to pull those oxidized LDL out of your circulation and drive it into an atherosclerotic plaque, thereby lowering your LDL. And so now your LDL goes down, and your doctor goes, oh, good, your LDL is 20 points, 30 points lower. Yeehaw. And, but it causes the very problem you're trying to prevent. So, again, you have to ask yourself, why is it that people with cholesterol above 300 live longer than people who have cholesterol of 150, right? Cholesterol is not inherently bad. It's inherently good. We need it for every cell of every cell in your body needs and uses cholesterol, but you don't want it to be oxidized, and you will stop that oxidation through stopping vegetable oils primarily. That's the primary way.
And I'm glad we've challenged this heart disease issue today, because it's the number one killer. But I want to remind listeners, you can just take this across the board, whether it's cancer, macular degeneration, diabetes, obesity, all the autoimmune stuff. I mean, there's a relationship across the board. Like I said earlier, inflammation, do an internet search with that, and any disease you want, you'll see this connection. Oxidation, inflammation, they're all associated. Kenobi, we've got just a couple minutes left, and I wanted to definitely highlight what you're doing with Cure AMD. So could you speak to that in the last few minutes we have?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to. So age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, is the leading cause of irreversible vision loss and blindness in people over the age of 65 worldwide. And my research has shown, just like heart disease, it was an incredible rarity between 1851, when it was first discoverable, and about 1930, and then it just and then it increased and progressively. So by 1975, millions of people in the U.S. affected. Today, in this year, 2020, 196 million people in the world expected to have macular degeneration, and on target to be 288 million by 2040. It tracks exactly like heart disease and exactly like cancer and type 2 diabetes and obesity and all that. All these disorders, incredibly rare in the 19th century, and now through the roof. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing, ladies and gentlemen, the same diet that will, you know, prevent your macular degeneration will prevent heart disease and cancers and strokes and diabetes and metabolic syndrome and obesity. It's all the same. Yeah. You know, and so it's getting rid of man-made processed nutrient deficient foods, which is basically refined flours, sugars, vegetable oils, and trans fats.
Yeah.
Put those together, you got processed foods. Get rid of those, you're 99. You know, yeah. If you get rid of those, you're headed in the right direction. That fixes the huge bulk of all this chronic disease.
Yeah. The problem, though, is all those ingredients are super cheap, so you're going to find them in every packaged food and restaurant food pretty much.
Right. You,
to be a modern-day hunter-gatherer, you've got to really hunt and seek out these traditional foods that are not adulterated, and it's hard to do. So people are going to have to pause in their life and say no to some extracurricular stuff, because you're going to spend a little more time trying to find a rancher or a farmer or a grocery store or an online outlet or somewhere to find this food that will actually nourish your body. We need nutrient-rich food that's anti-inflammatory, not this modern food that's pro-inflammatory. And unfortunately, it's going to take a change in your lifestyle where you have to spend some amount of time. And it's great once you reset your habits and you find these sources of food and can support some local people that are producing high-quality food. It's great, but there's time. You've got to spend some time transitioning into this new lifestyle. So I just want to encourage people in that it's not easy initially to change that, because it's so convenient to find these poisonous foods.
Right. I always say the principles are extremely simple, but to implement it, you have to be extremely vigilant, because the only way to do it, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, is you almost need to prepare all your own food.
Yeah.
You have to be extraordinarily cautious about getting food from anybody else that has already been made.
Yeah. And educate your kids. I mean, we'll go down the aisle at whatever grocery store, and when we get to this heart healthy oil section, I'll just tell my kid, I'll point to it. I'll say, that's a poison, and this one's a poison. I know I'm talking about canola and soy and corn oil, even though it has a pretty picture and a heart on it. It's poison. Right. It's poison. Just like as if I were in the antifreeze aisle or the chemical aisle. Don't ever, you know, drink gasoline. I do the same thing with these oils, because it is. It's nutrient depleted, pro-inflammatory, pro-oxidative. Even though it has a stamp of approval, American Heart Association. I mean, we need to question all these agencies that give us recommendations, because and question our conventional doctors, because we get the worst health outcomes.
We do.
We need to have an alternative to what we're currently doing, because we're dying. We're the sickest country. We're dying the youngest, and we're spending the most money doing it. And pharmaceutical-based approach only, ignoring these root causes, has led us into this conclusion at the end of this 100 years, 120 years, 150 years, of we're the sickest. We're getting the worst outcomes. So we need to question that, and we need to go a different direction. So thank you, Dr. Kenobi, for the science you're bringing, the explanation. It motivates people to go prepare their own food when they know the science and the why behind it. So thank you for bringing that. I know you spend so much time, your professional and personal time, looking into the science and bringing that science. So thank you for that and all you're doing. And I encourage everyone to go to cureamd.org. And that's Dr. Kenobi's foundation, where his goal is to educate people and help prevent this leading cause of blindness. But like he said, if you may be going at it for the blindness, but you're also going to reduce your risk of every other chronic disease and acute infections like COVID. So y'all get out there and get after it. Get to his website. Check it out. Check out all his resources. Dr. Kenobi, thank you. Someday we'll have to get you down to Lubbock, and we'll put on a conference together.
That'd be great, Dr. Ben. And to everybody out there, thank you for listening. And it's been an honor and a pleasure to be on the show.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, stick. Next week we'll be back with another great show. And again, that's Dr. Chris Kenobi, CureAMD.org. We're so delighted that he was able to join us today. This is Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. We'll see you next week.
That's right. Check out VeritasMedical.com. VeritasMedical.com. Past archive programs and other important information all right there at the website, VeritasMedical.com.